For years, you have been known for photorealism, also known as superrealism, an art movement that started in the late 60s and early 70s. This art movement rejected abstract expressionism that took place from the 40s to the 60s. Did you ever consider abstract painting?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I love abstract painting. I grew up with abstract painting. In New York, Jackson Pollock was one of the first painters I ever saw a big retrospective of, J.W. Turner. So I really grew up with that. I consider my photorealist painting somewhat abstract because realism has to function abstractly to work.
Your paintings focus on automobile and motorcycle imagery, literally reflecting the environment with this obsessive, meticulous detail. Is it your intention to make the painting look like a photograph?
Absolutely not. It's funny, the compliment I get from a lot of people is, oh, your work is so gorgeous, it looks just like a photograph. Well, I don't like that. I think it should look so much better than a photograph. Otherwise, why bother? I do take lots and lots of liberty, push colors, change things, much more so than a photograph.
What is your attraction to shiny, reflective surfaces?
I think it was initially reflective surfaces. When I first started painting, it was reflections in the water. In my early painting classes, I just painted them better. It was much easier for me to paint a bright, shiny, reflective silver object than a squash. And my teachers would say, well, why don't you paint more of these machine things? I think you're better at that. One thing led to another, and the reflective surfaces are so wonderful. They're just eye candy. They're fun to paint. They're interesting. And I love the bright colors.
And there's a lot going on in the reflections, in the,
oh,
from the environment.
Oh, the whole world. Absolutely. I remember the first reflection I painted, it was a little tiny Christmas silver ball. And the whole world was in that ball.
Motorcycle and automobile imagery are sometimes used as symbols of freedom, desire, or rebelliousness, and usually considered masculine. What is the deeper meaning here for you?
It's been my search for my own empowerment. Power traditionally has been masculine, and so the symbols for power have been masculine. And I think a lot of this work with cars and motorcycles has been my search for a feminine power within that.
In your process of painting, is it important to communicate motorcycle culture or get lost in the obsessive detail of the reflections?
Oh, absolutely the second. I have done a lot of research on motorcycle culture. I know a lot of those people. I know a lot about it. I have a lot of friends in both those areas. And I think we've all both agreed that I don't really need to know any more about automobile or motorcycle cultures than I do. It's much better, and even my motorcycle and car friends think this, it's much better for me to take my own approach and get involved in whatever abstract, obsessive, detail, color, whatever attracts me, and just go with that.
You're also known for somewhat hyper-realist paintings of female mannequins. How might the mannequins relate to the motorcycles?
Somebody reviewed a show I had. Some reviews are wonderful. This was not very complimentary. She said, oh, her motorcycle women look like mannequins. And in a way, they did, and she was right. She meant it as a criticism. I took it as a compliment because those women bikers, for me, were stereotypes of the way women are in the motorcycle culture. And she said mannequin, and I thought, well, that would be interesting just to continue along that vein. And so I went out, as I do when I do any new project, and I just started taking lots of pictures. It was a wonderful subject matter to work with.
You received your MFA from Vermont College later in life. How did earning this advanced art degree affect your life? I mean, because your environment took on a whole new direction.
Well, it did. And Vermont College was an amazing place to go to school. Everything is individualized at Vermont. You have individual teachers, individual projects. The first thing they said about my work was, you're working with this motorcycle subject matter. This is latent neuroticism. And I kind of went, what? And from there on, we really went into it, studying philosophically areas of desire, eroticism. And I came to terms with a lot of the reasons why I painted these things and began to understand the sensuality of them. I'd worked with motorcycles and I'd worked with cars before Vermont, and I've continued to work after. But what they gave me is the depth of perception about what I was doing.
Who were you reading in art theory?
Deleuze and Guattari are the main people about desire. And we read lots and lots of philosophy. In my last semester, I did a paper on eroticism. I would read fiction, and I would read a theory book, and I would go back and forth. So it all kind of blended.
The process of photorealism is the direct use of photograph or from direct copies of projecting slides on the canvas. What is your process of getting this very complicated motorcycle imagery on the canvas?
We've gone completely digital. And I say we because my husband helps me with a lot of this stuff, and we go on photo shoots together. My process basically starts with a digital camera and goes to a computer where I work on it in Photoshop. Then it goes to a digital projector, and then it goes to the canvas. Now, what goes to the canvas is basically just the bare bones. It's the basic composition that I have, again, photographed first, worked on in Photoshop, cropped, changed, played with the colors, pushed things, and then it goes to the canvas. So basically what I have on the canvas is a line drawing. The computer allows me to zero in on little tiny objects. I can blow them up big. I can distort them. I can change the color. And then transfer that to the canvas.
You were born in Baton Rouge, but raised in New York suburbia?
Yes.
During the height of photorealism that included artists like Richard Estes, Ralph Goings, Chuck Close, Audrey Flack, Charles Bell, did you frequent the New York museums, and did any of these people or others in particular influence you?
Well, you know, when I lived in New York, it was really in the 60s. I came down here to college, and I was painting and doing ceramics and things like that, and art history didn't even quite get to Andy Warhol at that point. I did not discover the photorealist until I took a trip to New York, and we wandered into Marlborough Gallery. You know, not Louis Mizell, but Marble Gallery, and Richard Estes had some paintings there. And I went, oh, those are amazing. That's what I'm doing. And then I started doing my research and went to all the galleries and read about every one of those and about their techniques and their development. And as you said, their rejection of abstract expressionism. And I found my historical references.
Your current exhibition at Soren Christensen Gallery is titled Cultural Icons. What are you referring to?
The cultural icons are the stars in their world. An object, thing, person that has attained some sort of cultural significance. My take on that really is they represent dreams and passions that people wish to have, hope for, dream about.
Where does the word icon come from?
From the Greek word icon, and it's spelled E-I-K-O-N. The Greek icons were little paintings that the church had artists paint to communicate the message of Jesus Christ. I do draw a lot of comparisons between our use of cultural icons and the early church. I think they function very much in the same way. Harley has made Harley into an icon of masculinity, power, potency, strength. People want those things, and they go buy a Harley.
The exhibition Cultural Icons by Lori Lockwood opens at the Soren Christensen Gallery with a reception Saturday, April 7th from 6 to 8 and will run through April. The work of Lori Lockwood will also be featured in the June issue of New American Paintings Journal. For 89.9 WWNO and Louisiana Artist, I'm Jacqueline Bishop.